Let's jump into our lesson this morning. I'm so glad you're here. So glad you're here. Let's pray together. Our Father, before we begin this morning, just directing our hearts and our minds and giving attention to your word, we ask you to calm us, settle us, give us attentive hearts, and give us ears to listen to what the Spirit is wanting to say to us this morning as women living in 2023. Because God, we want our lives to count for your kingdom. Now, I'm just going to ask you this morning in your heart, do you want your life to count for his kingdom? Just answer that in your heart. And Lord, I know that my heart and the hearts of these ladies say yes to you. And we ask you to speak truth into our lives that we might be women who bring great glory and honor to you. We pray you'll take this lesson, that you'll pierce our hearts with it, Father. We don't want to be here just to be here. We want to come, God, before you, that you might change us, that you might sanctify us, that you might grow us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we are on chapter 7 in our book, Learning Contentment. And this chapter is entitled, A Change in Perspective. Now, I always say this to my children as they were growing up. I'm more interested in your attitude than your action, because attitude is everything in life. I could ask one son to go take the garbage out. Well, I don't want to take the garbage out. Well, yes, you are. You're going to go take the garbage out. And, okay, I'll go take the garbage out. Well, that's the wrong attitude. And so we have to talk about attitude, and it's the same in our lives. Attitude is so important. We're going to be talking about, when you say a change in perspective, we're just talking about what's your attitude. And so I love the very first paragraph in this chapter. So guess what? I just put it on your handout. Let's read it together. Contentment, and that's what we're looking at now. That's our goal, is a new way of looking at the world. Now, there's the change in perspective. We've got a new way of interpreting the world. Why do I call it new, she says? Because for most of us, and see if this is true, for most of us, it is. It's going to be a new way. We've been looking at the world, looking at ourselves, and looking at our circumstances with the wrong perspective. Contentment teaches us to look with a fresh perspective, a resurrected perspective, a gospel perspective. We're not to look at our lives the way the world looks at their lives, right? Amen. Now, the definition we've been working with in our study of contentment, and I put it on your handout, it's a deep satisfaction with the blank of God. What is the word I'm looking for?
Will.
The will of God. Good. I want you to be learning that definition. A deep satisfaction with the will of God. Now, God is on mission in the world. God is at work in history. In fact, I've heard it said this way, and I like it. History is his story. He is the one who is seated on his throne. He is directing all of history. And as you and I are sitting here in Brookhaven this morning, we're just very small parts that fit into his grand story that he's writing in history. He's at work. He's weaving it all into like a beautiful tapestry. Now, when Bill and I were married 30 years, we took this fantastic trip, and it was a cruise, and it started in Barcelona, Spain, and we went all down the seacoast there and ended up in Rome, Italy. And part of what we did, when we stayed a few days in Rome, and we went to see the Vatican. Have any of you ever been there? Yeah. And so the Vatican It's really unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And they had building after building after building after building. And you walk through all of these buildings, and it's just tons and tons and tons and tons of treasures that the Vatican has amassed. The cost of it all is probably incalculable. And I just remember seeing these beautiful tapestries that were just works of art. They were fabulous, and they were huge. And all through that, room after room of these beautiful tapestries that were just ancient. And they were all hand-done. And our lives are like a tapestry. You see, the master weaver is God himself. Now, as he's weaving us into the tapestry of his story, sometimes he uses dark colors that would represent the hard times. And sometimes he uses light and bright colors. But he takes them all and he puts them together, and he does it according to his design. Now, when you look at the front of the tapestry, it's perfectly beautiful. But if you turn to the back, what do you get? Knots and all kinds of chaos on the back. And sometimes it feels like our lives are knotted and our lives are chaotic. And it's because we're not seeing the full picture on the front of the tapestry. And so contentment teaches us to read the story God is writing in our lives, to look at it with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of trusting God, that he's bringing everything in our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, he's bringing it all to a glorious conclusion. Now this morning, we're going to give our attention to a very popular verse in Scripture. It's one that you probably can quote because it is quoted all the time. But before we read it, before we look at it together this morning, I want us to really ask God to give us fresh eyes and fresh insight into the beauty of this singular verse, just one verse. It's actually stunning. I mean, it's breathtaking. When you just stop and consider it, it is the most glorious promise that you can imagine. It's very brief, but it is absolutely packed full with the gold of divine truth. It is such a precious promise. It's so very valuable that its price is beyond measure. In fact, this one promise is really unbelievable. I mean, you would never believe it to be true. And if there was ever a verse for us to take aside and sit and chew on and meditate on, it would be this verse. And when we take this verse as Christian women and we internalize it and we believe it, it becomes a verse, now listen, that can really change our perspective. This one verse, it has the power to do all that. Now let's read the verse. Romans 8:28. And we know, Paul says, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, about 2 weeks ago, I think, we had a lesson. And I went through the first six verses of chapter 8 of Romans. And I told you, this is really such an incredible chapter in all of the Bible. It's a jewel of a chapter. It is the Holy Spirit's chapter. It is a chapter that is absolutely incredible. And really, when you come to verse 28 of the chapter that we're looking at this morning, it is the summation of the whole chapter. He boils it down to this one incredible promise. Well, Teresa, how big is this promise? Well, I want to pull out one phrase to show you how big it is. Look back at the verse. Look at the phrase, all things work together for good. Now, that's how far-reaching This one promise is. Now, all things work together for good, Teresa. In your life, Teresa, all things are working together for good. I like that. That's a very comforting statement to me. That's a very reassuring to me. That one phrase, it fills me with hope. It gives me joy. It helps me to trust God. It gives me confidence. It makes me happy. It gives me freedom to know that as a Christian woman, no matter what the pain, no matter what the problem, no matter what trial I'm going through, no matter what the tribulation is or what the anxiety in my life, God has promised to work it all together for my good. I mean, that's just a staggering thought. It's a staggering thought. Now, just how far this promise reaches is really beyond our ability to grasp. And I want you to write it this way on your handout. It's really, it's a comprehensive promise. It is comprehensive. It covers everything in your life. There are no limits on the term all things. You know, he didn't say, Teresa, all suffering in your life will work together for good. No, he didn't say, all the trouble you are having, I'm going to work it together for good. He didn't say, all the anxiety or all the good things or all the righteous things. He just says, all things, period. No matter what it is. It is an unqualified statement in its comprehension. Now, the word for work there in the Greek is a very interesting word. It means to, and write this on your handout, to bring all things together for a common goal or a common purpose or a common function. Now, what is that saying? It's just saying that God somehow, I don't know how, he causes everything in life, in the life of a Christian now, He works it together marvelously in this divine synergism to accomplish his ultimate end. Well, Teresa, are you saying that all things are in themselves good? And the answer to that question is, that is not what I'm saying. And that is not what this Bible verse says. So write it on your handout. This promise does not say all things in themselves are good, because they're not. There are things that happen in our life, listen to me, they are bad. Amen? And I don't say thank you, God, for that bad thing. Instead, I say thank you, God, that somehow you have promised to take a bad thing and work it together for my good. And I'm watching to see how you're going to use it. So write it this way on your handout. It is to say that God is so absolutely sovereign. Now, that's the word I want you to put in the blank. He's reigning over everything. He is sovereign. You see the word reign in that word. He's so absolutely sovereign and so totally in control that the worst of things God can overrule and work for our good. Now, ladies, that is what it means to be a daughter in the family of God this morning. It means God promises you, as his daughter, I'm going to take everything in your life and I'm going to work it together for good. This is just such an amazing truth. I mean, I can have this amazing confidence that no matter what comes into my life, be it good, be it evil, it will, by God, be overruled. It will be put together in a divine tapestry that ultimately comes to my own good here and now in glory forever. Now, I just want to stop. This ought to thrill your heart this morning. Let your heart be thrilled this morning by the Word of God. Do you ever just get thrilled when you read the Word of God? Do you ever just feel like you want to pop? Well, this morning we ought to be just filling up, about to pop, because we are looking at such an amazing verse. Now, what do we mean when we say good? What kind of good is this? Let's go to the Greek again and write some things down. The Greek word good basically means that which is morally or inherently good. It's speaking of the truest kind of goodness. The truest kind of goodness. It's not just this outward, external, look good thing. No. It's talking about an internal, an inherent goodness. The purest kind of goodness. Now write this down. It is good now, so it's a present goodness for your life. And good ultimately in glory. That's future goodness. Now, what is the bottom line of what this verse is communicating? It's saying this to us. Now, listen. No matter what happens in my life now, God's going to work it together in a divine synergism to produce something immediately, temporarily in this world for my benefit, and more than that, it's ultimately going to work together for my good in the future in glory. Now let's stop and reason in our minds together as we're handling this verse together this morning. If every single thing you do in your life ultimately works out for your good, is that true? Based on the Word of God? Okay, are we in agreement? If every single thing you do in your life ultimately works out for your good, then here's my question. What could ever cause you to lose your peace or your contentment? We're talking about our perspective. And see, the answer would be nothing. Nothing. If this verse is true, and it is, then nothing should cause me to lose my peace or my contentment. All things work together for good. Say it with me. All things work together for good. Now, it isn't automatic. And remember, this is the Holy Spirit's chapter. So it is God who has decreed this. So write that on your handout. This is God's decree. He's the one telling us. But it just happens to be the Holy Spirit that works it out. So write that on your handout. Now, how does the Holy Spirit work this out in our life? Part of it is this. And we see this in chapter 8 of Romans. That the Holy Spirit is constantly interceding on our behalf. Did you know that? He's got deep groanings for us. He's interceding. He's praying for us. And he's causing everything in our life to work together for good. But not only, and I just want to point this out, is the Holy Spirit interceding for us, but also the Son of God, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is constantly interceding for us as well. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 7. It just doesn't happen because God decrees it. That's where it starts, but the actual producing of it happens by the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God himself. And through his work, we are put into a position where no matter what happens in our life, everything works together for good. Now that thought is just so powerful. Now here's something else that we want to emphasize this morning. And let's write it on our handout about this verse. This promise is for those who love God. And it's promised for those who have been called by God. those who love God, and those who are called by God. Now, who would that be? That would be Christians. So let's write this down. This is not a verse for unbelievers. So when you're working with an unbeliever and they're going through a hard time, you can't say, look, God's going to work this together for good for you. Because if they're not an unbeliever, that is not a promise for them. This is a promise for us. You could say to that person, if only you were a Christian, God would work this together for your good. Repent and turn to God. He will work everything together for your good. That is His promise. This verse, it's a verse for us to store in our treasure house, ladies. Now, here's the deal. This verse is a deal changer in your life. And here's my question. Will you believe Him when He comes to you and He tells you, I will work all things together for good in your life? Will you believe Him? Do you believe Him this morning? Do you believe that you are His special treasure? That He is working all things together for your good? Believing this promise will cause us to trust Him in every situation of our life and in every circumstance of our life. Now, back in chapter 2 of our book, we talked about how the foundation for contentment was built upon the promises of God. Here is another promise of God for you to put in your foundation as you're building contentment in your life. Because God is weaving all things in our lives together to produce good for us. And when I take this promise and I trust it and I believe God when He says it, it causes me to have a change in my perspective. I start interpreting everything in my life in a new way. Hard times comes, allowed by God in His will. It's according to His good and perfect will. It means things just aren't happening randomly to me. My life's not chaotic. It's not out of control. Things are happening according to a particular God-given design. And now we begin to read our lives with this interpretation of God is working. God has allowed this. God is going to turn it for good. It gives me a weapon in living my life in victory. And you know what happens? It produces rest. It gives me peace. It tastes like life. And what I'm saying is, I'm content. Even in hard circumstances. Even in hard circumstances. You know what we're really doing in this Bible study? This really occurred to me as I was getting ready this morning. We are training ourselves, ladies, to think biblically. We're going to think God's thoughts. We're going to think the wisdom that comes from above. We're going to be producing in ourselves, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the very mind of Christ that knows hard things work together for good. Did hard things happen in Jesus' life? Did they work together for good? They did. We're having our perspective changed. And discontentment is going through life on an alternative route. You're looking at it a different way. You're looking through the world's eyes to interpret your story. Part of what God is doing through His Holy Spirit in our lives is He's sanctifying us. You know, that's a part of Christian growth. If everything just went status quo and you never had a bump, you wouldn't grow. And so when trials come, when opportunities or difficulties come, it gives us an opportunity to trust Him, to take hold of those promises of God, and to believe Him. So instead of just looking for things to go great in our life and for everything we want to happen, all those external blessings, write it this way in your handout. I want you to say this. Contentment looks to our duties in our present circumstances. And we have a new watchword, and our new watchword is trust God and carry on. I'm just going to trust God, and I'm going to carry on doing the things God wants me to do. Now consider your present situation. You may be in a really hard place. What do? Do you just go sit in the corner and mutter grub? No. You know what you do? You say, okay, what's the next thing God wants me to do? I'm going to keep on proceeding in the Christian duties, those disciplines that we studied. I'm going to proceed in my life. I'm going to rehearse the truth of God, that He's working it all together for my good. Is He giving you something difficult to steward? You're like, oh my gosh, God's calling me to that. How's that ever going to happen? You know what? I'm going to just believe Him that He's going to give me grace and give me wisdom to proceed in what He's calling me to do. I'm going to pass the test. Your test may last a year. Your test may last an hour. But God knows just exactly what you need as He's fashioning our trials accordingly. I love what James says. Give it all joy when you go through various trials, multicolored trials. I mean, we all could sit around a table and talk about our trials. None of them would be alike. They're all different. He knows just what we need. He never leaves us without help. Let's close with another wonderful promise out of Hebrews. Start in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus, you just don't understand. Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. Because He was, look at it, in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so here comes the promise. Let us therefore, because of what He's done, because He's gone through everything we've gone through, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's write down a few things because I'm out of time. We are to ask boldly. Write that down first. Are you timid? Don't be. Here's your permission to storm the gates of heaven and to do it with boldness. And here's another thought. Come often. Well, I was just there yesterday, Teresa. Go as many times as you need. And then this thought, we're coming to a high priest who sympathizes with us. He has such sympathy with us. And then according to Philippians 4, we're to come with a thankful heart, with a thankful heart. We are God's people. We are His called. We are the ones who love Him. He hears us. We are His treasure. And giving thanks to Him is a characteristic of God's special people. Now let's go into our small groups real quick and discuss the questions, and then I'll come back and close us. So does everybody have a book? Our lesson's so good. I hate to interrupt. We could sit here all day. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You for what we're learning, and I pray, God, that You will help us to train our minds to think in the right perspective, to think biblically, to have the very mind of Christ dwelling within us. Father, to have Your wisdom which comes from above. And we just pray this morning that You would give us boldness to continually remember that Jesus is sympathetic. He understands our weaknesses. He bids us to come boldly to this throne and find grace and mercy to help in our needy lives. And we praise You this morning for everything we're learning. And I ask You to bring us back together next week. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.
We're in chapter 8.
Chapter 8.